views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Voices of Women is a talk radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
Welcome to Voices of Women. I'm excited because I just completed a wonderful gathering with the grandmothers on the Gulf Coast near Mobile, Alabama. And we had such a fabulous time sharing the divine feminine with women. They range from 37 years old, I know that was not a grandmother, to 93. They were so excited to have talking circles with other women. It was a very powerful week, and I just love gatherings like that. It just really feeds us so much. And today I'm talking with Normandy Ellis. She's the co-author with Nikki Scully of the new book, The Union of Isis and Thoth, Magic and Initiatory Practices of Ancient Egypt. And this book skillfully interweaves ancient wisdom and spiritual healing into a practical plan to help people actualize their highest potential and sacred purpose. Normandy is a spiritualist minister and certified medium missionary to the Indiana Association of Spiritualists. She teaches in the metaphysical school at Camp Chesterfield, Indiana. She's an internationally known teacher. She's been the author of 12 books, most notably the spiritual classic Awakening Osiris. It's based on the hieroglyphic text of the Egyptian Book of the Dead. Her other works in the Egyptian mystical tradition include such books as Dreams of Isis, A Woman's Spiritual Sojourn, Feasts of Light, Celebrations for the Seasons of Life, and Imagining the World into Existence, a manual of ancient Egyptian consciousness. Normandy is also a very creative writer, an award-winning author. She has also fiction books, which include Sorrowful Mysteries and other stories, Going West, and Fresh Fleshed Sisters. Welcome, Normandy.
Hey, thank you, Chris. Good to be here.
Yeah. So I want you to start off by telling us your story, how you came to be this expert in the ancient knowledge of Egypt.
No, I always like to tell people that I didn't go looking for Egypt. Egypt came looking for me. It was one of those things where I had a fascination with a visitor, I guess I should say, whom I didn't know as anything other than God's wife when I was a child. And my mother indulged my conversations with God's wife in our kitchen by feeding her coffee, and she would talk to her, and I would give her the answers that God's wife was saying. And she said, well, what is her name? And I said, well, I don't know. It's something like the Ice Queen. And then later, you know, I come to find out that she very much resembled Isis. And, you know, you think it's just a childish fantasy and we'll put these things away. But the truth of the matter is that not much later, I was given a copy of the Book of the Dead by a friend, a Rosicrucian, who suggested that I read it. Well, in fact, he insisted that I buy it, which I did. Then he gave me a ton of his Rosicrucian teachings and said, oh, well, you can look at these for a while. And then he left and he died. And I ended up with all of these metaphysical, mystical books from the Rosicrucians and the Egyptians, and came time to start translating a language other than Spanish, because that was the only language I had when I was in graduate school. And the professor said, what looks interesting? And I said, hieroglyphs. And so that's really how it started. I just kind of trained myself by reading various translations of the text and, you know, getting a copy book and copying things down. And to this day, I'm still doing that. I'm still, to this day, 20 years after I started working on the pyramid text of Unas and working with those translations, because there's so much in them. I'm just fascinated by the language, because it really, you can't do it word by word translation. It's really an intuitive process, like reading a poem in a way.
Wow. And so also now you have this Egyptian Mystery School with Vicki. Tell us what that's about.
Okay. The Mystery School has been going on for about 20 years, something. And we're having another one this summer, and I believe in August. But we never know what it's going to be until Thoth and Isis start whispering in our ears about a week before it starts. We kind of think we know what it is, but when it first started, we were really spending most of our time introducing people to the Netaru, to Isis and Thoth, and the whole pantheon of ancient Egypt, to helping people develop their clairvoyance. In some of those mystery schools, we did one called Becoming the Oracle. We did some others that were based on Osirian mysteries, learning to write hymns and invocations to the divine. So it really varied each year until we got to a point where we started doing building the temple. And each time, you know, we would work on Nikki's land, we would open an Osiric temple and build chapels and side chapels to it and write invocations and, you know, do the work there. But now suddenly we started building the temple within. And that became really the basis of the book that was the union of Isis and Thoth.
Yes, and we're going to talk about, we're going to get into that because that's really fascinating. But first, I want you to go back a little bit and tell us a little bit about who Thoth and Isis is so that everybody's on the same page who's listening in.
Okay. Thoth is, Nikki and I call ourselves Thoth and Isis. She's Thoth and I'm Isis. You know, we'll sort of tease each other about that. But the truth is that she's very much aligned with Thoth and her whole life, as I've been aligned with Isis. And Thoth is a god who is one of the creator gods. He's very quirky. He has the ibis head. You know, in the human body, he's considered the god of scribes and inventions and creations of all sorts. He sort of emerged in consciousness through the Big Bang, if you will. It's like everything that is part of the cosmic soup is inside Thoth's cauldron. And he works with numbers. He works in pairs of male and female, light and dark, space and time. He's kind of identified with the Greeks as Hermes Trismegistus, so which is the magician, the healer. He had the caduceus staff that you see the medical people use, though they don't claim that that's Thoth. It certainly is. And that's really where it started, was from ancient Egypt. He's a very alchemical divine being. So all of that gives him a kind of cosmic overview of things. And he works in union with two goddesses. We'll talk about them in a minute. Ma'at and Seshet. Now, Isis is the daughter of the sky goddess Nut and the earth god Jeb. And she was born into time and space, whereas Thoth is almost beyond time and space. She was born in time and space on Earth as the sister of Osiris and Nephthys and Set and Horus the Elder. And she married her brother Osiris, and this was like the first Adam and Eve. And you can think of of her as the civilizing influence that, you know, arose out of the depths and the dark reaches of Africa, you know. So she's kind of the humanizing part of the duo. And I think that her importance is as, you know, the first female, the mother of us all. She teaches people how to grow crops, and she works with compassion, and where there's strife and dissonance, she comes in and you know, kind of brings the forces together.
Okay. Yeah, to what those two are, Bob and Isis. Well, we're going to take a little break. We're going to come back and talk more with Memory Ellis about the magic practices of ancient Egypt.
What are vibes? We often use this word, but did you know vibes can actually be useful and help solve our everyday challenges? Embark on an exciting learning journey with Caitlin Keat, 11-time Visionary Award winner, specialist in vibrational energy, and the creator of Vibes Up. Join Caitlin as she takes you through the world of vibrational therapy and energy healing with natural solutions for a modern world. Visit vibesup.com to learn more today.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Shine On Radio. Find Your Shine with Kelly is the show that celebrates what makes you, you. Join co-hosts Kelly Wadler and Dr. Pat Basile as they break down how to brilliantly fuel and move your body and love what makes you shine. Kelly is a professional arts and wellness coach dedicated to helping brilliant women find their confidence, energy, self-love, and shine. Tune in to Shine On Radio with Kelly and find your shine on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
What is a master soul gardener? With Nomi Bahar, you can be one too. Her revolutionary Gates of Power method is a comprehensive program that addresses every aspect of yourself and gives you the tools to tend to the seeds of your soul's garden. Let Nomi guide you through and beyond what's holding you back and help you embrace the life you've always dreamed of. To learn more about upcoming classes and workshops, visit gatesofpower.com today. Francine Vale is a being of light. She believes that all people of planet Earth are as well. As co-host of the Angel Healer radio show, Francine teaches you heart-centered ways to manifest healing on your own behalf and how to integrate love more fully into your daily life. Connect with your angels as you find your life flowing with ease and harmony. Walk the path of light with Francine and Dr. Pat Basile every month on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
What if your body and mind were the compasses to the secrets, mysteries, and magic of life? Glenna Rice, co-host of The Questionable Parent, is inviting you to access all that is possible. Glenna is a 10-year certified veteran access consciousness facilitator who offers an amazing variety of life-changing classes and workshops. Work with Glenna from anywhere with teleclasses and workshops all over the globe. To learn more and see Glenna's current schedule of events, classes, and workshops, visit GlennaRice.com.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm talking with Normandy Ellis today. We're discussing her new book, The Union of Isis and Thoth, Magic and Initiatory Practices of Ancient Egypt. So, Normandy, you know, you're talking about telling us about Isis and Thoth, and you know, the book title being The Union of Isis and Thoth.
thoughts. How does that teach us how to make that temple within ourselves? Because you mentioned about building a temple space and about your mystery school making a theory temple. So let's talk about that.
Okay. Well, when we were describing Thoth and Isis, you know, we described Thoth as being the above ground guy and Isis as being an on the ground kind of woman. And that really is a metaphysical principle of as above, so below, as below, so above. And the two of them are reflections of each other. There was a saying that Egypt was reflected in the heavens and that the heavens were a mirror of Egypt itself. So when they went into the temples, they were not going into just, you know, a nice, pretty, glorious home for the gods. They were really entering into a time and a space that was existing on multiple levels of reality at the same time. That's how a temple space works. It's spiritual, it's mental, it's astral, and, you know, or it has an emotional resonance, and it's a physical place as well. And every time you go into a temple space, a church, a synagogue, a cathedral, even the woods where you might sit down on your favorite stump and meditate, you're entering into a psychic space that's, and you're creating a place of resonance for your spirit for, you know, times to come. One of the reasons that the Egyptian temples so fascinate us is that they've been places where prayer and adulation and invocation have occurred for, you know, over 5,000 years. These temples, though they're not kept alive by temple priests and priestesses of ancient Egypt now, they are kept alive by people like Mickey and me and those people who travel with us, who go into this space and recognize that they're entering into a truly altered space, an altered reality. And I think part of it, too, is that the sands of Egypt, which are crystalline structure, you know, because they used to be under the water. Those crystals are what we use to communicate with satellites and our cell phones and our televisions, and it holds memory. And so I think that the memory of those places and the way in which the divine was honored still is in place in all of those spots. Now, the reason Nikki and I felt it was important for us to do this book is that there may, given the way the world is, there may not always be an Egypt to go home to, you know, but there's always going to be a temple within us where the divine is going to take residence. And so that really was our intention, to help people consciously create a space within themselves so that wherever they were, we could honor the divine being of their choice. And, of course, it doesn't have to be Egyptian, but it just happens that she and I work in that magical tradition.
Mm-hmm. And so let's talk about that temple structure. How do you teach people to build that etheric temple? And this essence here is like what you talked about is placing this temple within your physical structure, within you, and not just physical,
right,
but also spiritual,
well,
and all that.
I think it has to be reflected, you know, not only in our thoughts, but in our actions, which is why metaphysical practice is so important, which is why ritual is so important, because it physicalizes the spiritual ideals that are within our psyches and our minds and that have an attachment to our emotional bodies through the use of will. So say, for example, one of the things that we'll do is when we first start creating the temple, we gives people the idea that there's a process they can go through, a magic ritual, if you will, to sacralize the stones that they're going to lay for the foundation of their temple. Now, those stones can actually become some flat stones in your yard, if you would like, and put them down, bury them in the ground, and nobody has to know that there's a temple there except you when you walk over top of this stone. You know, through your dedication, your will, your prayers and intentions, you can create this temple. One of the things that I've done is I have a set of stones that I've dedicated, and I put one on either side of my doorway. And so when I enter into my home and into my altar space, I'm entering into a sacred temple. I see the stones and I immediately say, here I am. I'm back where I belong. So I think that that's one of the things that's so important in a kind of magical practice, is that you're physicalizing a spiritual intention.
Mm-hmm.
And there are
I know, and you talked about that in the book. You gave very specific practices of even how you cleanse the stones, you know, through fire before you place them, and different ideas of where you can place them. And so I like that, coming in, you know, on the sides of your doors of your house, so that your home where you live is your temple. And
right.
And then also there's a lot of work. There was some meditations you do in the book where they're bringing that Thoth energy into themselves.
Right. Right. And that really is a lot of it. It's getting to know the divine beings that you're working with. You know, a lot of those meditations give you visual imagery so that you can see living stories of how the world's created, if you will. You know, you can use your mind's eye to create, there's not a word that I really can find. If I say myth or story, it sounds like it's not real. But the thing is that once you start working with these, they're very much and entirely real. They are a living history, if you will, because you're in a relationship with it. So I think the visualizations are important. They don't come straight from Egypt, but they come straight from what Thoth and Isis were telling us to put into the book as part of the experience. And so, you know, I wouldn't say they're from an ancient Egyptian text, but they're certainly from the divine inspiration.
Mm-hmm. And like you said, your practice is Egyptian, so that's what you're using. And perhaps people could use some of your practices and meditations, but bring in the gods and goddesses that they work with.
Right. I mean, it's just as easy to use Kuan Yin as it is to use Isis, you know, but they're not the same exact energy, but the process and the relationships that you develop with them are the same.
Mm-hmm. Well, I am curious it seems like this is opening, one of the purposes is to open the gates of wisdom within ourselves so that we can have this connection with the divine.
Right. Well, it's certainly needed. It is certainly needed, because it seems like these days people are less willing, I guess if that's the right word, they're less willing to align their will with a divine will and more interested in what they can attain for themselves, it seems like. I don't know about presidential. It's really getting on my nerves. I just see a lot of willfulness that's misaligned. And there's very little reckoning that it's truly aligned with a spiritual practice or a discipline at all.
Yeah, well, that's
the
problem.
That.
To the news, and we lose touch with that. Like, I just spent several days with women who are definitely touching in the divine in their lives and interested in the divine feminine and spirituality, and it gives you hope when you're with people who are doing this work. because we don't we don't see it in the regular news, and we're not going to. And that's one of the blessings of the internet, I think, is we can find out from other people what's going on. And I think a lot is going on. It's just that we lose touch with it, especially if we're isolated and we don't.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think the media is not paying attention to what's really going on. And if, let's say, if the media did pay attention to the fact that there was a group of grandmothers who had gathered with you, you know, that there was a full moon ceremony with the Mitchell Hedges crystal skull that I just did two nights ago during the eclipse. We had 95 people coming to that. You know, it was a beautiful ritual. And, you know, it's interesting because it was all done through Facebook and personal connections that, you know, it's like it wasn't anything that was in the newspaper or, you know, it's like
Bernie and Donald.
Yeah, I know.
It never is going to be. Well, we have to take another commercial break. We will come back shortly and talk more with Normandy Ellis.
Holistic Medical Center is where you find it all. A healthy space with doctors who care, see, and listen to the whole you. Hi, this is Dr. Darvish. If you have not found an answer to your chronic symptoms, you will find answers here at Holistic Medical Center. Our doctors find the root cause of your symptoms and guide your body towards healing naturally. We transform lives from within. Visit drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
Are you ready for a radical shift in your way of being? Are you seeking a more deeply connected and fulfilling life? Awakened Living Radio is a show dedicated to helping you embrace a life filled with profound peace, connection, and happiness. TJ Woodward is passionate about helping you find your clarity, balance, and purpose. Join co-host TJ Woodward and Dr. Pat Basile on the first Monday of every month at 11 a.m. Pacific Time for Awakened Living Radio on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
There are so many resources out there for meditation. But did you know that Atana's Heart Earth Healing Meditation is available for you for free? Yes, that's right. You can receive this free healing meditation today from Atana Badili. All you need to do is visit his website, atanamethod.com. That's A-T-A-A-N-A-method.com. And sign up. You will receive your free meditation instantly. That's atanamethod.com.
Introducing the Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving, even in the face of adversity. Say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
What are vibes? We often use this word, but did you know vibes can actually be useful and help solve our everyday challenges? Embark on an exciting learning journey with Caitlin Keat, 11-time Visionary Award winner, specialist in vibrational energy, and the creator of Vibes Up. Join Caitlin as she takes you through the world of vibrational therapy and energy healing with natural solutions for a modern world. Visit vibesup.com to learn more today.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Danis, and I'm speaking with Normandy Ellis. We're talking about her new book that she wrote with Nikki Scully, called the Union of Isis and Thoth, Magic Initiatory Practices of Ancient Egypt. So, Nikki, can you give your website where people can find out more about this book and your other books? And also, I know, I think you have a trip coming again to Egypt, a spiritual trip that you may want to let people know about.
Right. Okay. So you can find out about the book and the trips that are coming up on either my website or Nikki's. Nikki's is shamanicjourneys.com, and mine is normandyellis.com. And it's Normandy with an I. The trips are coming up in April and November, and then again next year in the fall.
So then you have one this April?
Oh, yeah, 3 weeks from now. Exciting.
Okay, then I'm assuming that one's probably full.
You know, it's not, but we have space for two people. So if there's anyone who wants to hop on board, yeah. But we're taking spaces right now for the November trip because we're already booking for that one.
Right. Well, I highly recommend people looking into this because I know when you go on your website, you see a little bit, but you're spending several days on a boat on the Nile, and you get to do some special rituals, have some ritual experiences in some of the temples.
Yeah, we do. I mean, there's nothing like it. You know, we start our trip, it's a two-week trip. We start it standing between the paws of the Sphinx at sunrise. Speaking our intentions, you know, as the sun comes up and we're standing facing the heart of the Sphinx. Really, it kind of charges the whole trip, and you're on this sacred purpose the entire journey. It's going to end with 2.5 hours inside the Great Pyramid in a meditation. There'll be some initiations at that point. We do dawn at the Temple of Isis, which is always incredibly beautiful. We see Sekhmet in her chapel, and we have some other kind of private times in different temples. Because it's kind of less populous right now, I mean, there are not as many boats plying the Nile. We have a lot of access to the temples and places, more so than we have in the past. So it's really been a good time to travel there, you know, no hassles at all. Just the people are lovely. And I really see it almost as a mission. You know, yes, we do temple initiations. Yes, we explore the heart of Egypt. But the most important thing that we do is that we meet the people there and they meet us. And, you know, we work as compassionate beings with each other. And it's just the most amazing heartfelt space when you're working with the Egyptian people.
I'd love for you to share how, you know, a lot of people get scared about going to the Middle East and going to Egypt. And I know you've been going, I believe, many years, even when, you know, stuff's been happening.
That's right. Yeah, we went through the revolution. We went through, you know, when they kicked out Mubarak and they put in Morsi, and when they kicked out Morsi and they got al-Sisi. And so I've been through the whole gamut, you know, sat on airplanes with young women who have purple thumbs that have just voted for the first time in their life, you know. Maybe didn't turn out the way they wanted, but they understood the democratic process. We had some great conversations, you know, on what it meant to be a person at this time in the world where we're all, you know, citizens of the world. It was quite lovely. And, you know, it was very safe.
Well, I know it'd be a great experience. I would love to do it sometime, and I encourage people. It's 2 spots left in April, and also another trip in November. So you had mentioned some of the work with Isis and Thoth, that there are some other counterparts, the Maat and Keshet, that you work with. So tell us about that and what they mean in this whole story that you're doing.
Right. And I think one of the things that, if you're studying any type of magical principles, knowing Sechet and Maat is very, very important, especially Maat, because she is the foundation of every single temple is said to be built upon her plinth. Every child honored her as cosmic order, harmony, balance. And so when you're understanding any type of natural law, you are working with the laws of Ma'at. And basically those are, you know, to do harm to no one, and that includes yourself, to always honor the divine beings of the land in whatever form they take. And that's, you know, because the Netaru are beings that are embodied in the Netaru, trees, plants, animals, humans, you know. So it's like with harm toward none. And one of the things, you know, she's really interesting when I start thinking about environmental law. You know, there were 42 laws of Ma'at, things that you would not do if you were to honor Ma'at. One of them was that you said that you would not dam the river, you know, and that sounds kind of funny to some people, but the truth of the matter is once you dammed the Nile, it no longer flooded, it no longer fertilized the fields. And yes, they have hydroelectric power, but 90% of the energy is spent creating phosphates to put back into the soil to make it fertile, which is what the flood used to do all by itself. So, you know, it's one of those not nice to fool Mother Nature type things. But Ma'at is, you know, the inalterable truth. And every pharaoh was handed the laws of Ma'at that he was to honor throughout his lifetime. And when he died, he had to return Ma'at to Ma'at. So she's very powerful. And, you know, if you're doing any type of initiatory practice or working with students or, you know, even in any day-to-day marriage, friendship, always honoring Ma'at is very, very important. And Sechet is the keeper of the Akashic Record. And so she's the one who sort of rules the laws of karma by which we all live. And she keeps the records of time, immemorial, lifetime after lifetime. And so she works with Thoth also as helping us to access the mysteries that we're trying to bring down at this time. You see her as the librarian. There's like a little library. When you come into the temple, there's a room off to the right and little niches where all the scrolls were kept. And the walls are carved with what's essentially a card catalog of all of the sacred books that run that temple. And she stretched the cord to show where the ley lines were and how to run this energy through the temple on these corridors. And she's very geometric and numeric in her orientation, as well as being a scribe. So they're two of my favorite goddesses.
And so you talked a little bit about that, but how does that relate to people now? You know, how do we make use of these goddesses?
How do people now connect to these goddesses?
Yeah.
I think that, you know, when you're talking about natural law with anyone, which most people who have a spiritual discipline these days do understand natural law, and they're talking about, you know, is this act in my record? You know, yes, the act, whatever it is that you've done, is in your record. Sechet keeps the record. So people who are doing Ho'oponopono practices, you know, and prayers of forgiveness are working, whether they know it or not, with the goddess that's Sechet, who is helping them to expunge things that have been in their records so that there's like no harm in the future. So that's like, you know, you're working with them all the time. You just call them by different names. Okay. And I think Ma'at is, you know, how do we do it every day? If you understand the Ten Commandments, you understand Ma'at, you know. It's just a different language that you use. But I think the important thing for people who are doing magical practice, there are like four principles to know something, to really know and understand how the energy works. To will, to be able to say, okay, I understand how that works, and I will to do something that will make a difference, okay? And then you do it. So you know it, you will it, you do it. And then this one's always very interesting to me, is that you keep silent about it, which is that you store the energy that you've generated and contained. Now, some people have said, well, that seems like an odd thing to do. And I say, no. If you're a writer and you're writing a story, you're not going to tell everyone your plot and tell them everything about what you're working on, because the likelihood is that you won't ever do it. You just talk about it. It'll turn into hot air, you know? So, to know, well, to dare, to keep silent. Those are the four requirements of any magical practice.
Yes. Okay, well, we have to take another break. So we'll be back shortly and talk more about this with Normandy Ellen.
Awaken to your radiant, authentic self. For over 15 years, Soul Purpose Advocate Nancy Monson has been focused on leading change in the lives of those looking to live their true purpose. She is devoted to supporting people in living a soul-directed life every day. Let Nancy help you overcome fear, worry, and doubt. Visit everydayspirituality.com to learn how Nancy can be your Soul Purpose Advocate.
Hi everyone, this is Dr. Pat. The ancient Inca root vegetable maca is world-renowned for its wide array of health benefits. As a family-run company of true maca specialists, the maca team's mission is to provide you with fresh, organic, premium-quality maca powders at a fair price. Amazing. All of the products are always organically grown, fair-traded, GMO-free, fresh, and potent. So don't take my word for it. Experience the life-changing benefits of maca today. Visit themacateam.com.
Tune in to Sheer Alchemy with Leslie Fontaine on TransformationTalkRadio.com and get ready to stir up your passions, remove your blocks, and shift into an entirely new existence. Speaker, teacher, channel, clairvoyant, Leslie Fontaine is a transformation catalyst who channels a powerful energy from Source to catapult listeners into living the life they were born to live. Whether it's shifting from scarcity to abundance, from emotional pain into joy, or from illness into health, Leslie will help you step into the true essence and power of all that you are with the help of the Ascended Masters and Archangels. You will not be the same. Visit TransformationTalkRadio.com for show dates and times, and LeslieFontaine.com to say yes to explosive abundance.
Get into it for 2016. Do you want more prosperity, clarity, energy, and balance in your life? Join Lynn Brown now through March for one of her amazing workshops, each focusing on a key part of living your best life. For more information and to register for one of these amazing workshops, visit LynnBrownEvent.com. That's LynnBrownEvent.com. And get into it this 2016 with Lynn Brown.
What are vibes? We often use this word, but did you know vibes can actually be useful and help solve our everyday challenges? Embark on an exciting learning journey with Caitlin Keat, 11-time Visionary Award winner, specialist in vibrational energy, and the creator of Vibes Up. Join Caitlin as she takes you through the world of vibrational therapy and energy healing with natural solutions for a modern world. Visit vibesup.com to learn more today.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Dennis, and we've been talking with Normandy Ellis today about the new book on the magical practices of ancient Egypt. And Normandy, you told me that you have a virtual book launch that you want to announce for people.
Yes, Nikki Scully and I are having a book launch on March the 30th, and it will be 4:30, starting at 4:30 on Eastern Time and 7:30 on Pacific Time. And it'll go on for about 2 or 3 hours, where you can talk to us about the book, anything about ancient Egypt that you would like to talk about. For every person who signs on through Nikki's website, which is shamanicjourneys.com, when they call in, they're going to have the opportunity to receive a hymnal. I guess we're calling it a hymnal. Basically, Union of Isis and Thoth has several different poems, hymns, prayers to the divine that are part of the book. Some of it was written by our students, and some of it was written by us. But there are many hymns to the divine beings, to Isis, to Thoth, to Sekhmet, to Heket, to the goddess Bast, etc. So Nikki and I have recorded those, and you'll be given access to this hymnal, which nobody else will have. So it's kind of exciting that we're doing that, and I think it'll be a lot of fun, really a fun way to share the book with people and have them get a little something extra when they come to the book launch. And that, again, that's March 30th at 4:30 Eastern, 7:30 Pacific.
Okay, great. So you just go to Shamanic Journeys, journeyswithanf.com.
Right.
Yeah, and so people can sign up for it. You can sign up ahead of time, and then they'll get the information. And
that's right.
Great. Well, that sounds like a very wonderful gift to get. I'm sure it would be very useful for people. That, you know, so I think it's that kind of music and a hymnal and into the divine allows you to take in that essence in a wonderful way.
Yeah, I think it should be good.
Yeah, so tell us about, you have information about 3 spiritual bodies that you make use of for initiation.
Right.
So can you tell us about that?
Sure. When we were talking about how the temples were built in Egypt, one of the ways in which they were built is one temple on top of another, so that temples from the old kingdom are sort of at the base and buried in the mud of some of the temples that have been built on top of them. And seed stones were put from the earlier temples into the later temples, and so that the stone carried the power that was brought up with it into the recent mm-hmm. temple. And in that same way, the Egyptians also believed that we had 9 different spiritual bodies within the 10th body. That's our outer being, the shell of the being. And some of those bodies worked on the astral plane, like some of them were what we would think of as ghosts, a Tibet, which is a lower form of a astral body. And then there are bodies that were used by the ascended masters to come down and contact us. They're called light bodies, Sahu. And you go up through these various layers, but when you get to the top of that food chain, if you will, that spirit chain, there are 3 bodies that are called the Ka, the Ba, and the Ak. Now, most people have heard about the Ka and the Ba. The Ka is a animating principle, if you will. It's your desire nature. It's that part of you that creates and manifests things in the world, so that when you're working with your affirmations, you know, and you're really pouring your heart into it and you're pouring your speech into it, it's that vehicle that that creates on the physical plane through that spiritual desire nature. Okay. And it's kind of just part of your body this lifetime. It doesn't follow after you. Okay. But when you have a Ba, it's your soul as opposed to your spirit. And the soul reincarnates. And it's that being that we see that has like the face of a man or a woman in the bird's body, which indicates that it can move at will across time and space. And the Ba is a permanent structure. And then there's a third body, which is called the Ox, or basically the Phoenix. And it is transformational in its nature. And it was actually mentioned in one of the very earliest hymns in the Pyramid of Unas, 5th dynasty, so 2640 BCE. They're talking about the ladder of ascension. And this ox bird flies up this ladder of ascension and meets the divine beings who have downloaded for him the divine plan, if you will, and they give him his part of the divine plan. He flies back down the ladder and then comes out and helps to manifest the divine plan on earth. It's one of those processes that the ancient Egyptians went through. The Pharaoh would do this every 7 years, kind of like a Saturn cycle. He would undergo something called a Hebsed festival, which was a transformative festival in which he had to spend some time in a shamanic death experience and then awaken inside, we believe, inside this pyramid where the pyramid text was, inside this tomb. And then he would read the ways to move up and down this ladder of ascension to contact the divine beings. So we worked with this text, which came from information that I had been working with in the pyramid text and was also part of Jeremy Nadler's Pyramid Text of Unas and others. So, yeah, but we reconstructed that.
Oh, so some of this information about this is in the book.
And, yeah, it's in the book, yeah.
Yeah, so people can read about that. And our time is up, but I want to remind people to go to the website, shamanicjourneys.com, to sign up for the virtual tour book launch, which will be on the 30th at 4:30 Eastern Time. And then you'll receive that free hymnal to all this work from the hymns that you've written and have come down through the ages. So that's going to be great. I want to also mention that we'll be talking next week on April 1st to Nikki Scully and all of you together, continuing more discussion about the ancient Egyptian mysteries. And Nikki brings in a whole other element of the work that she does, and so that'll be good to go in more depth with it. So thank you so much for being on the show today, Normandy.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today. Radio with Chris Stainis.